So continuing on, we're still on the same subject. Most people, even of the world, Christendom, everybody's favorite scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What they don't understand and they don't teach is to believing in the Son is not only to believe mentally, you have to follow the Son as Lord. See, they think it's just a mental, well, the devils believe that, and it don't save them. So when John uses believe 60 times or so in the gospel, that word believe means believe to obey, to follow. That's what it means. So if we get out of Satan's kingdom and he's the master, we come into the Lord's kingdom and he's the master. And that's why I said, why call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I tell you? You're my friends, he said, if you do what I tell you. You're not his friends if you don't. So we're not talking about mere mental assent. And shepherds and teachers aren't teaching the word of God properly. So everybody claims that one scripture, but then they don't go down further to 3:36, the end of the chapter. He who believes in the Son, and that means to obey and follow him, has everlasting life. And he who does not believe and obey, that's what it means, shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Psalm says it is true. He's angry with the sinner all day long. He ain't changed his attitude. His love is goodwill and holding back his judgment. People say, well, he loves the sinner, but he ain't. No, he doesn't love the sinner if they keep in sin. His love is a goodwill. He's long-suffering, but he has no communion with them and no fellowship. He sees them as his enemy, and he's offering them a peace treaty. He wants them to get right, but he hasn't forgotten justice and holiness. He cannot do this. He's the Lord who changes not, okay? So if most mankind, as we've said, will end up in the lake of fire, you would think true ministers and teachers would teach on it more, wouldn't you? Since we will one day live in a place of Christ or in eternal hell, the lake of fire. So Christians can lose their salvation. That's why most of the Bible's written. The godly to stay with God and not turn away. The Antichrist's power will come soon, okay? And those who don't give the whole counsel of God will be damned as false shepherds and cowards. We have to give the whole counsel of God. We don't pick and choose. We don't pick and choose what we teach. We have to teach what God tells us, and he gives sufficient warnings. There's roughly 39 to 40 parables that Jesus taught. One-fourth of them have to do with judgment and hell and God's punishment. Well, how come they aren't teaching that? Remember, Jesus told them before he ascended, go and make disciples of all nations and teach them to observe everything I told you. He didn't say give them seven scriptures and show them how to be saved. Seven scriptures are not going to save you. You're taking scripture out of context. It's the whole counsel of God. I'll give you something harder. In the book of Acts, Paul stayed 3.5 years in one area teaching day and night. He said, with tears. Why was he teaching with tears? Because the very Christians he's teaching, he knew when he departed, wolves would come in and many of them would backslide and turn. He's warning them. He's crying because he knows the Christian will be led astray if they don't stay with him. And that's why he said, I give you the whole counsel of God. Don't deceive yourself. You have no permanent faults. You have assurance of heaven. You don't get no fire ticket out of it. Don't work that way. And I'll tell you another thing, the false shepherds and the Calvinistic shepherds of all, they'll quote scripture, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. They don't read the whole context. He names many things. He doesn't name sin. And he's talking to people who are walking in the Spirit. Those who are walking in the Lord, Nothing can separate them from God. But if you practice sin, as Paul said, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. He don't care whether you call yourself a Christian, whether you were born again and seen the Lord every week for a year. He said, if you practice these things, you will not make it to heaven. So that scripture there is for the Christian that's following the Lord. Nothing can separate us from God. He will not allow us to be tempted above we're able. He'll make an escape. He'll either cause us to get out of it or he'll give us grace to endure it. But he warns against sin because it can separate a Christian from God. See, that's how you can tell these are false shepherds, okay? And we have to continue on this. And some people, when they listen to my teachings, a very few that will, some of them will not want to come back to this one. Oh, you should have a fear of the Lord. What you should fear is to sin against him. That's the fear of the Lord. Righteous people, that don't scare us too much if we're right with the Lord. But we need to be told what happens if we fall away and we don't serve the Lord and we become traitors. We need to be told what's going to happen. So there has to be a healthy fear of the Lord. Paul said, continue in the grace of God. He said, continue in the faith of God. And he said, continue in the fear of the Lord. That's why Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead for lying to the Holy Spirit. They were true Christians. And you know what it said? And fear came upon the church. That was God's intention. He struck them for their hypocrisy and their covetousness and lying to Peter and the Holy Spirit. And God wanted the church to understand, this is what I'll do. He was talking to his own. So fear came upon the church. It says you don't trample with God's grace. You don't play with God's grace. You're not guaranteed. You better stay with him and serve him acceptably and follow him, or the consequences are not going to be good. So God's wrath is terrible, and his holiness against sin never changes. Even Jesus comes to judge before, after time of the Antichrist, when he destroys the Antichrist, false, he'll destroy the wicked of the world. And he'll set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. And then most of them will rebel and he'll destroy them. But when he comes during the Antichrist time and destroys them, he's coming, it says, without salvation. And the people will beg for the rocks and caves to fall on them and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Well, we think it should be the wrath of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's letting you know that the one who died for your sins is the judge. And when grace comes to an end, he exercises the full wrath of God as God. And they try to get away from him. See, they want to hide like Adam and Eve did. Because sin, something in them told them. And God asked Adam, where are you and why are you hiding? Because we were afraid and we were naked. And he said, who told you to be afraid? Their conscience did. They were instinctively. And so when the Lord comes to judge the world, the wicked are going to flee. He's not coming to save them. He's coming to judge them. See, he came in his person as a prophet, as a teacher, as our Savior. And then when he ascended, until he comes back the second time, he's our high priest bodily before the throne of God. He exercises his divine nature and his human nature as an intercessor. And then when he comes at the second coming, he's going to be the judge and the king, and he's not bringing salvation. So we need to understand who he is. He's not this Santa Claus sentimental person. His attitude towards sin and the sinner does not change. He's long-suffering and patient. Okay, I'm going to go over a few scriptures. Remember them. Write them down. Especially if you find yourself wanting to be tempted and drawn away to the world, you need a warning. The Word of God warns and corrects us and tells us what's going to happen if we do certain things. Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified in his blood. The word justified, like people say, justified never sin. It makes us in right standing. Our past sins, and as we walk in the Lord, the present state, we have righteousness with the Lord. Our sins are not held against us anymore. We're made righteous through the blood of Christ. We shall be saved from wrath through him. He's telling the Christian there's wrath coming, but we're going to be saved from it because we've been justified and we're walking in the Lord. Okay, isn't that a wonderful scripture? And then 1 Thessalonians. Takes us a little time to get there. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Well, let's read 9. For they themselves, now you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The wicked are going to experience God's wrath and contempt. There's going to be no grace, no mercy, no long-suffering. It comes to an end. When God put Noah and his family into the ark, the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness, 120 years. He didn't get no converts. That's something. That's something. His only family got in because they obeyed him. They weren't that right. They were good, but they weren't like Noah. And they helped him build the ark. He didn't get no converts. And what did Jesus say? That's how it's going to be toward the end. It's going to be as the days of Noah and Lot. It's not going to be really real Christians. It's going to get darker and darker. That prepares the Antichrist to come and the devils to have more power. Okay? 1 Thessalonians, we're still there. Let's read 8, 5, 8, and then 9. But let us who are of the day be sober. It means don't be drunk, be spiritual. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's our final resurrection he's talking about. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not eternally secure here. You're not once saved, always saved. You have to be faithful to the end, and your salvation is in Christ. Paul said he's made unto us redemption, sanctification. It's not a gift separate from him. If you don't stay in Christ, you don't have salvation. So we have to stay with him and endure and overcome, and then we get final salvation in heaven, the complete man. There are liars that tell you you're once saved, always saved. They're false shepherds. They're Nicolaitans. That's what they are. They don't like being called that. And most Protestants believe that garbage, and the Catholics aren't even nowhere near the true scripture. So that's Christendom for you, like I said. Okay, we'll go to one more scripture here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, we haven't received the final kingdom. We're living in the spiritual kingdom now as we stay in Christ, but it's not final. The branch can be cut off. The person can backslide. The person can go back to the world. He has that ability. But he said, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Once we enter that kingdom, there's no falling away. We are permanent. We're fixed in God. Our testing, as 2/3 of the angels pass the test and didn't get cast out of heaven like 1/3 of them did. It's our probation we're living. Be faithful to the Lord to the end. Revelations, it says the Lord comes. He's coming with the called and the chosen and the faithful. Many people think they're called and chosen. Once saved, always saved. No, If they're not faithful, they're not called and chosen anymore. Got it? See, they don't like that. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace that we may serve God. Worship him is what it means, acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. He's talking to the Christian. And then in 29, for our God is a consuming fire. This is not the purifying fire. If we don't serve him with fear and reverence and proper obedience, we will experience hellfire, the lake of fire. See, that scripture is taken from Deuteronomy. God told Moses, you tell the people, if they go after other gods and idols, I will consume them as fire. Well, that's what hell is. That's what the lake of fire is going to be, God's wrath eternally on the wicked. Grace's door will be shut. That's it. So he's warning Christians to do this. Don't become a backslider. Don't fall away. You stay with the Lord. Don't become as the foolish virgins. See, they didn't keep their garments white, and they didn't keep their lampstand lit. Somewhere along the line, it said they slept. That's a sign of being spiritually lazy and wicked. They didn't do their duty to God and stay with him. And then they tried to get ready when it was too late. See? When the rapture comes place, it's going to be at 1/100 of a second. There's no time to get ready. Yeah, you're either ready or you're not ready. You can't run and get ready. Or if death strikes you unaware, there ain't no time to get right. And many people try to get right when they're old on their deathbed, and God doesn't mess with them. They've been preached and taught for years, and they didn't want to serve them. But because they have a fear of hell and judgment, they want to get right. God does not mess with them. See, they've been lied to. Live your whole life in sin and pleasure, and then I'll get right with God in the last hour. You don't find that in Scripture. That's man's fantasy. How can a person get saved in the last minutes and take up his cross and follow the Lord and suffer for the gospel and continue? He can't do it, okay? There might be one in a million, but it's not the normal policy, okay? So everyone, let's go to verse 49. For everyone will be salted with fire. He's just talked about the burning fire, hellfire. Everyone will be salted with fire in one way, two different ways. There's the fire of tribulation that comes to disciples to prove us and test us. There's times we have to be faithful and test it. When the seed fell on the ground, the first group, Jesus said they received the word with joy. They were born again. They were saved. Their sins were removed. And they were happy about it. But they didn't progress and continue. And so it said when trial and temptation came because of the word, they fall away, for they have no root in them. They don't last long. But they were truly saved. People say, well, at least they're saved. No. If a babe does not drink the milk of the word, isn't taught properly, and has a right attitude toward God, then he will die spiritually. He's not saved. He won't stay saved. Because the scripture tells us salvation is walking in the Lord and following his will. It's not no separate gift that he gives people. Okay, we go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 6, 7. We're saying we have to go through testings at times. That's the fire of testing. And he says here, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you're grieving by your various trials, that your faith must be proven to be genuine, which is more precious than gold to God, is what he's talking about. Though it is tested by fire, it may be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation. It means you have to overcome. You have to resist the devil. We have suffering. Suffering for the Lord don't mean someone beats you up or throws you in jail. That's an extreme form. It means you deny sin daily and you take up the cross and you don't yield and you do the Lord's will. And when God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it, you do it anyway. And if you want certain things and the Lord says, that's not my will, then you die to it. He's not going to rubber stamp and give you everything you want. That's a false, that's coveting. He does not encourage coveting, okay? So we're going to be tested at times through our Christian experience. And we have to remain faithful. That's why Paul said, put on the armor of God that you'll be able to withstand in that day of battle. And having done all to stand, that means you don't get defeated. If you get defeated, you have to go through the frying pan again. Proverbs. Is that he that is often reproved, get the word here, often, he'll get a stiff neck. He gets proud and resistant because he will not yield to being reproved. He don't like being chastened. And instead, so he that is often reproved, he gets stubborn and willful against the Lord's will. It said he shall be cut off, and that without remedy. It means God's often dealt with him, and he won't give in. So after a while, God says he's acting like a bastard and not a son, so I'll cut him off from the vine. So he's warning people, don't get stubborn and willful and disobedient against the Lord's chastening and what he's doing. He's doing it for our eternal good, okay? So those who reject Jesus would be salted with fire in the lake of fire eventually. Never-ending life. The consuming fire. That's what God told the Hebrews. I'm the consuming fire. God is everywhere. He's in the lake of fire. He sustains it. Every law, everything in the natural universe and the spiritual, God is there. He sustains everything. He's the creator. There is not a place he cannot be. So if he's in the lake of fire, he's there as a contemptible wrath and anger toward these sinners. Grace is over. There's no more mercy and grace. That's where we need to learn to fear the Lord, what he's really like. All animal sacrifices of the law were salted before being burnt on the altar. Salt holds back corruption and decay. It can purify. So that's why Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You're holding back God's judgment. You're being a witness. You restrain wickedness by Christ being in you, in his kingdom. And he can show more mercy and grace if we yield to him. And he holds off his judgment. But when the salt is removed or becomes useless, then it doesn't do its work anymore. It's useless. Okay? So we need to understand that. Jesus said, you cast that salt and people trample on it. See? They marred it. Only salt to become useful again is for people to repent and get right with the Lord, that he'll get new salt at them. But there's no other way. John, Gospel of John 15. This is Jesus talking. So people don't want to believe it. He's talking about the vine and the branches and abiding in me as a branch. If anyone, verse 6, does not abide in me. So he's talking to Christians. If you don't remain with me. See, it's continuous. You do not continue with me. That's what he means. It's not a one-time thing. The Christianity is a beginning, a continuance, and an end. It ain't once saved, always saved. You've entered the race. You got to finish the race, okay? If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. It means he dries up because he doesn't have the life of Christ in him anymore. Has no spiritual life. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. He's given a symbol that you are a branch in me. And if you backslide and fall away and don't bear fruit, I'll cut you off. And ultimately, you will be burned in the lake of fire. He's given an illustration. What you do with a dried up branch, it has no other use but for fuel for a fire. The way the scripture sometimes it words it differently, but he said, even the wicked are made for God's wrath. It means they choose that way. God has an answer for them. He's the great economist. He doesn't waste anything. His truth and holiness shall stand forever. He does not alter who he is, okay? So since God is everywhere, he's even in the lake of fire, sustaining it. His wrath is against evil beings, fallen angels, and wicked man. Wrath, anger, revenge, justice. He despises the evil persons with contempt. What is contempt? Total disregard. He don't see them anymore but what they are. And that's how God acts toward wickedness. His holiness has no place for it. So we need to understand that. There's no more grace and love toward them. That's the final abode. So in verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? It's implying, and you can't. It only can come from God. Have salt in yourselves. Have the Holy Spirit in you, he's saying. Have Christ in you, and be at peace with one another. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And there must be peace among true Christians. I'm not talking about denominations. Most people in America think they're Christians. Most of them aren't. Just because someone says, I'm a Christian, you don't have to believe it. By their fruits, you will know them. By their understanding of the scripture and how they deal with God will tell you a lot about people. So if it loses its saltiness, it's worthless. It's thrown out and trampled underfoot because it cannot stay. It cannot hold back corruption or purification. Before we had refrigerators and all that, Indian tribes and European tribes, all over for 1,000 years, they salted and smoked stuff. The salt kept it in its place from rotting. And so they could eat it during the wintertime. If you didn't have salt, you couldn't keep meat and certain things they would not keep. They would start to rot. So we see that's its purpose. It suspends things and keeps them from decaying. Okay? Have salt in yourselves. Okay, we're to have Christ in us. We're to walk in the Spirit. You notice that many things, even in the epistles, man is told, the Christian's told to do, put on Christ, do this. Man's will is of utmost if he's in the Lord. He can yield to the new man or he can yield to the old man. That's not taken from him. There is no irresistible grace. It don't work. You have to stay with the Lord. And you have to put on the armor. If you don't put on the armor of Christ, you will be defeated and end up in hell. He said, put on love, mercy. He tells us, put it on. You put something on like a cloak. Put on Christ Jesus. Take on his character and nature is what it's saying. But it's the will of man that decides this. See, a lot of people say, well, man, have another. John said that salvation was not by the will of the flesh. It meant the plan of salvation was all God. But you can't be saved if you don't exercise your will. If you're convicted, your conscience by the Holy Spirit, you have to yield or don't yield. It's not forced on you. You have the power. In a sense, the poem is stupid, but there's a little, we are masters of our faith. And of our soul. If we don't serve to the Lord, if we don't yield our spirit and soul to the Lord, we'll have something else happen to it. But we can decide to follow the Lord, to stay with the Lord, or we can be led astray. Because we live in a corrupt world, and the devil does everything to lead us back to the world and under his control. Okay. One thing we should say here too, in God's patience and long suffering, when it says, for God so loved the world, it's his benevolence. It means goodwill. He's not talking about some sentimental thing, some affection that's not based. People say they love God. They don't keep his commandments. John says they're a liar and the truth's not in them. He's not interested in your sentimentality. If you're going to sing and worship and have an emotional feeling, you better abide by God's word or he don't accept it. Doesn't please him at all. Under the old, he said, I despise your songs and your musical instruments. Take them away. I despise your gatherings. He could say that to most churches. They're not worshiping the Lord. They're serving religion on their basis and how it suits them. They're not going by scripture. You know, what shows the long-suffering of God, people don't understand. The time before a person's sin and their punishment can be a long time. If God punished people every time they did a major sin and struck them dead, we wouldn't have many people walking the earth, would we? He holds off, but he doesn't forget. Justice must come into play. So when Paul warned the Jews and reproved them for their stubbornness, he said, you're willful and stubborn. Don't you know that God putting off his long suffering is meant to lead you to repentance? He said, I'm giving you space, but eventually you're going to answer for everything. So because he doesn't judge immediately, don't mean he's not going. He is going to. Every idle word of the wicked, they're going to answer for. Isn't that something? Every idle word. That means the least of sins, God does not forget. He's everywhere. He sees all. He keeps accounts. He knows everything. So if sin is not forgiven through the Lord, he's going to hold it against them at judgment day. That's why there's going to be degrees of punishment in the lake of fire. Jesus said the hypocrite will receive the greater damnation, the false teacher. That won't give people the truth. So we need to understand that, that God is gracious and kind, that he let some wicked people live 30, 40, 50 years. Stalin died on his bed at 82 peacefully with a stroke. Hitler lived very well for 13 years and he decided to kill himself because he didn't want to be a prisoner. He ruled and did as he pleased. Mao, responsible for 60 million Chinese, he died peacefully. Can you imagine the hell waiting for them? Because everything they did, God held in account. And they're not going to get away with anything. Every idle word. That's justice. You don't overlook it. So we don't want to meet God and his wrath without the blood of Christ. We want to be in Christ when he comes. We don't want to be outside Christ. That's going to be a dangerous place, a place of terror, okay? So in chapter 10, verse 1, so getting up, he went from there to the region of Judah and beyond the Jordan. And crowds gathered around him, and according to his custom, he once more began to teach. It was his custom to go to villages and towns and preach the gospel. Everything that Jesus said that's been recorded, we can read in less than an hour. So when he went to different, he didn't come up with new cutesy sermons. People want new sermons, but they don't want to do what they're told. People tell me, well, you want to teach it? And I said, why? You're not even doing what I'm telling you now, so I'm going to give you anything else. And I called them spiritual fools. They're always trying to get some knowledge of this, and they're disobedient to the Lord. It ain't doing them a bit of good. Isn't doing them a bit of good. And they got to answer for more. So wherever Jesus went, he taught the same parables. Sometimes he added things and told them in a different way that people could understand. That's why we have four gospels, and on the same event, one will leave something out, and the other will add it and tell you what it's. They're telling you from their view what they remembered and what the Holy Spirit wanted them to bring forth. So everywhere he went, he preached the same simple gospel. He gave the same 40 parables on and off. And he went throughout Judea and round about Jerusalem for 3 years doing this, okay? He didn't come up with some great spectacular. Jesus said, the gospel's preached to the poor. I mean, every day, those who are not wealthy and powerful. And the Corinthians that had money, some of them, they sort of despised the poor Christians. And when they had their love feast, they told them to go eat over there with your people. That's why some of them were struck with diseases and died, were judged of the Lord, that they would not perish with the world. They had to repent during that punishment. He said, don't you know, Paul said, God has chosen the poor of this world who are rich in faith. You can be poor. That ain't according to the prosperity doctrine. If you don't have money and wealth, you must not be in the kingdom. Paul said, be content with such things you have, food and raiment. Well, I know street people that are in that position. Understand? So God ain't out there to answer all your covetous, greedy prayers. That's what they are. It's coveting, materialism. You haven't learned contentment. You're supposed to be in a spiritual kingdom. He said they're rich in faith. Isn't that something? One of the churches in deep poverty, God said, you are rich. He said, you're in deep poverty, but you're rich. Then he told the Laodicean church, you are rich, but you're naked and poor spiritually. Isn't that something? That's a good lesson for the prosperity teachers. Part of this faith and coveting is all it is. A faith for materialism, for money. It said they will exploit you, Peter and Paul said, with deceptive words. They will covet you and your money. And that's what happens to many of them, don't it? Let's go ahead and stop now. We're going to stop at chapter 10, verse 1. Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to understand the whole counsel of God and not be afraid to share it, even though very few people want to hear it. We will be free before the Lord that we did his will. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.